Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the Confession of Forgiveness 95 in the front of the hymnal, and make use of the kneelers if you so desire. Confession of Forgiveness found on page 95. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. Page 138. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise this day is hymn number 858, verses 1 and 4 only at this time. Hymn 858, verses 1 and 4, praise to the Lord, the Almighty. First page of the readings and prayers bulletin insert. We pray this prayer together in unison
as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Judge, you inexhaustible fountain of forgiveness, replace our heart of stone with hearts of love and adore you, that we may delight in doing your will. Through your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First day is from Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave us this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept before him and said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intend to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as God is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 13. We'll read responsively. It's a song of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless the Lord's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And do not forget all the Lord's benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity?
Who heals all your diseases?
Who redeems your life from the pit?
Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy?
Who satisfies you with good as long as you live?
So that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works vindication
and justice for all who are oppressed.
You made your ways to Moses, your acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
You will not always accuse,
nor will you keep your anger forever.
You have not dealt with us according to our sins,
nor repaid us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are as high as above the earth,
so great is your
steadfast love towards those who fear you.
As far as it is that from the east is from the west,
so far have you removed oppressions from us.
As a father has compassion for his children,
so you have compassion for those who fear you, O Lord.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading today is from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat. For God has welcomed them who pass judgment on servants of another. It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let us be fully convinced in our own minds. Those who observe the day observe it in honor of the Lord, and those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord. Since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both living and dead. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then we'll be accountable to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. We stand each Sunday in honor of the reading of the Gospel and Christ in our midst, but due to the length of the Gospel today, I invite you to be seated so that you're not distracted by when I might shut up. Okay? The Gospel, chapter 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, if my brother or sister sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to Peter, not seven times, but I tell you 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, who owed him 10,000 talents, I debated whether to read this or not, but I'm going to. A talent is worth more than 15 years' wages of a laborer. The slave owed the king 150,000 years' wages, or roughly $9 billion today. This slave who owned 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. A little interjection here. 150,000 years wages. Nobody lives 150,000 years, even Methuselah. So is it impossible to repay this debt? And yet, out of pity for him, the Lord of the slave released him and forgave him the debt. Keep that in your mind. But the same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. A denarius is worth the usual day's wage. I'm getting political here. Or roughly $12,000 today. That is at $15 an hour wage. Not the minimum wage of $7.25. That would be only $5,800. So you see the difference here? $9 billion, 150,000 years wages back then. Or $5,800. Not even the price of a car today. Maybe a good used one, though. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Now, this is the slave who owed $9 billion. Okay? Seizing the other guy's throat. Then the fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have me and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went out and threw him into prison until he should repay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and rightfully so, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt, 150,000 years' wages. Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Actually, it's wrong. I typed it wrong. The text for today's sermon is from Genesis chapter 50, and also Matthew a little bit. Let's pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Genesis chapter 50 is the end of that book. It's the end of a whole long family history that started with chapter 12. Go home this afternoon, it's your homework, school's in. Chapter 12 through 50, read the whole story. Because sometimes, even myself in Sunday school today, get all confused by the characters and the Peyton Place and the Knots Landing and all of those, you know, soap opera. It's the end of one of the longest stories of family history in the whole Bible. Chapters 12 through 50 of Genesis. And we're at the very end of it. So Joseph's brothers are coming back to him to ask for forgiveness, okay? And I won't reread the whole scripture because I want you to remember what Joseph was all about. Remember Joseph, the favorite son of Jacob and Rachel? Okay, we have to go back. Joseph's great grandparents were Abraham and Sarah, chapter 12. Then we had Isaac and Rebecca. Okay, remember Isaac? They had two sons, Jacob and Esau. There's a whole history there. Read that story. It's wonderful. Jacob was the youngest. Esau's the oldest. Esau's supposed to get the blessing. Jacob steals it from him for a bowl of beans. Jacob and Rachel. Jacob, also called Israel, right? Israel, he who wrestles with God. Esau was called Edom. And there's a whole genealogy found in those chapters. But Jacob and Rachel, his favorite wife and concubine, yes. He had many sons, 12 of them, actually 13 in total, but 12 of them at this point. But his was Joseph, because he was the son born to Rachel, his favorite wife. And do you remember the story of what Jacob gave Joseph because he was his favorite son? Donny Osmond did a Broadway show about it, Joseph's Technicolor Coat, right? The coat of many colors, or the coat with the long sleeves. It was a tailored coat that none of the other brothers had. They had robes, they didn't have a coat. And do you remember the story? Because he was the favorite son of Jacob, the only one from Rachel until Benjamin's born, but then you have to read the rest of the story. Because he was the favorite son, the brothers were angry at him for this coat of many colors with long tailored sleeves. There also Joseph had a dream that they bowed down to him as he was then the ruler. And they said, "What? He's the little brother. He's the baby." Until Benjamin was born. "He's the baby. No way are we bowing down to him." Now, these 12 brothers are going to be the tribes of Israel, right? The 12 tribes of Israel. But there's no way we're going to bow down to him. So they got angry enough that they threw him in a dry well. There was a dry well out where they were herding the flocks and all that, and they said, "Let's just get rid of him." So they stripped him of the coat of many colors, and they threw him in the well. They killed a goat, probably for lunch, and they used the blood to put all over the coat, because they were going to take Father Jacob and say, "He was killed by a lion as he was tending the flocks." Good story, right? Made for TV. But then two of the brothers, read who they are in the chapters, two of the brothers took pity on Joseph and said, we can't let him die here, he's our brother. And right then, there were Bedouin merchants traveling towards Egypt. And they said, we got an idea. We won't let him die, we'll just sell him into slavery and we'll make some money. While we do the same thing. Okay, so they throw him in a dry well to die, they then pull him up, and then they sell him into slavery to these Bedouin merchants who are going to Egypt. And Joseph is sold to Potiphar. And Joseph is so good at what he does, he becomes the manager of Potiphar's whole household. He's the CPA, the manager, the head butler, whatever you want to say. But there's a problem. Joseph is young and good looking. And Potiphar's wife has her eye on him, right? Read the story. I can't say it in front of women and children, okay? It's a wonderful story. We talk about it in confirmation when we talk about thou shalt not commit adultery. Ten Commandments, when you get to the adultery thing, they always want to talk about Joseph. Because Joseph was seduced by Potiphar's wife. And Joseph said, no. It's wrong. You are his wife. I am his slave. I am his master. I'm his servant. The CPA, the butler, you know, the head of his whole household. I take care of everything. I can't take care of you. She grabs him by the loincloth. This is the part that the 7th grade and 8th grade boys love. Grabs him by the loincloth and he runs away without any clothes on. And she takes the loincloth to her husband and says, he tried to seduce me. He tried to take me. I won't even use the word. And poor Potiphar believed her. And he throws Joseph into jail, right? And Joseph then interprets two dreams, okay? He had a dream about his brothers bending down to him and worshiping him as sheaves of wheat. But then there's the cupbearer and the baker from Pharaoh who are in jail. They did something wrong. They burnt the buns or there was sour wine or I don't know what, but they were thrown in jail. And they had a dream. And the dream interpreted by Joseph was that in 3 days you'll be beheaded. Your head will be separated from your body. And indeed, in 3 days the baker's head was separated from his body, but in 3 days the cupbearer was forgiven by Pharaoh and reinstated as the cupbearer. Jump ahead some more years while Joseph's still in prison. Pharaoh has a dream, right? Go home and read about it in these chapters, 12 through 50. Pharaoh has a dream that there are 7 bumper crops of wheat and 7 lean years of wheat. And then there are 7 fat, fat, fat cows, steers that could go for, you know, how much on a pound. And then there are 7 lean cows. And the cupbearer, he brings all of his people in, and the cupbearer overhears, he goes, help me, wise men, interpret this dream. What does it mean? And nobody could help him. Cupbearer goes, oh, pick me. I know this guy in prison. He interpreted my dreams and he saved my life. Pharaoh brings Joseph into his court. And he tells the dream, and Joseph says, God has told me that there'll be 7 bumper year crops of grain and harvest and cattle and herds. And then after 7 bumper crop years, there'll be 7 years that are drought and famine. And Pharaoh believed him. And so for 7 years, he made Joseph vice president of Egypt, of all things, right? We never hear about that in the history books. Joseph was the number 2 man in Egypt. We had Pharaoh, who's the sun god, okay? But then you had Joseph, who reigned all over Egypt. And they based, and they built stockyards and everything to build up and to save all of that they could for the 7 lean years. And indeed it happened. They had 7 bumper crop years, best harvest they've ever had in the history of Egypt. But then came the 7 lean years, and nobody had anything except for the fact that they had stored up grain and food. And they were able to survive. Okay? Whether you call it welfare or, you know, SNAP or whatever, you know, they pass out this food to everyone. And the surrounding nations heard about it and said, help us, we're starving too. We weren't smart enough to build granaries, storage houses and that. And even Joseph's brother and family from Canaan heard about this wonderful thing happening in Egypt and how they were helping other nations, not just Egyptians. And they came down on behalf of Jacob and his wife Rachel and their whole families. Read the rest of the story. It's amazing. There's ins and outs. Joseph tricks them and all that kind of thing. But they throw him in a well to kill him. They sell him into slavery. And now they're coming to beg for food. Okay, and right before our last chapter, the end of Genesis, okay, the end of the whole story of Genesis, they bow down to him. Well, that was even in our reading today. They knelt down before him, Job, and they pleaded that he might forgive them. Joseph saves the Egyptians and the surrounding nations from the huge famine. He saves his brothers and all of their families, as well as his father, Jacob. But if you read closely, and go home, prove me wrong, please, go home and read chapters 12 through 50. If you read closely the story, Joseph never forgives his brothers. But Jesus said, yeah, well, this is way before Jesus, right? Joseph doesn't hold a grudge because he feeds his brothers and his sister-in-laws and all their families, his mother and father, Egypt to be there. But he never, ever, even in our reading at the end of this book, says, I forgive you. He provides for them. He weeps with them. He's with them. But the whole forgiveness is like, am I in the place of God? He says. You meant it for bad. God meant it for good. Talk to God about it. Okay? That's the one that you should be asking for forgiveness from, for trying to murder your brother and sell him into slavery and get rid of him once and for all with a bloody coat. He never forgives his brothers outright verbally. And yet, volumes, right? We're to think then, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, to a man called Jesus of Nazareth. He had a pretty special coat too. Do you remember the special coat? It was talked about at his death. Very similar to at the death of Joseph when he was thrown into the well to die. Remember the coat that Jesus had? It was seamless without any seam, woven in one piece. And even the guards who crucified him said, we don't want to rip this up and share with one another. Let's cast lots. Let's roll the dice for it. You're to think hundreds of years later of Jesus to earth to show God's love once and for all. But we rejected him and hung him out to dry. And his coat was saved by the guards who then rolled the dice for it. It's by Jesus' crucifixion and death, God once and for all accepts Jesus' sacrifice, obedience, and servanthood, that we, you and I, might be forgiven. That's why we do confession and forgiveness every week, folks. Because you don't come on Friday and Saturday night like our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters and Orthodox brothers and sisters. If you came every Friday and Saturday night and sat with me in a little box, you wouldn't have to do the corporate confession. But you don't do that. I'm here. Jesus and I are here. You never show up. So we do it together on Sunday morning to remember that we need to ask for forgiveness for all that we've done to our brothers and sisters in the past week. We ask forgiveness to God, that indeed he might forgive us. Now, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do you really listen to those words? There's no way I want to be forgiven by God the way I forgive other people. Ha! If I want God to forgive me like I forgive my sister, I'll be in trouble. Yes, I should forgive my sister, and I do. Because we know the story of Joseph and his brothers. We know the story of Jesus and his coat, his robe. It's only through Jesus' crucifixion and death that God once and for all accepts on our behalf that sacrifice, Jesus' obedience and servanthood, that we might be forgiven. Joseph said to his brothers, even though you intended to do me harm, God intended it for good in order to preserve numerous people, as God is doing today. Not only the nation of Egypt, but the nation of Canaan and the surrounding nations who came for help.
from the great of Egypt.
For those of you that pay attention, bulletin cover, dig that thing out. The bulletin cover always has to do with the scriptures for the day. I tried to fool you today, right? It's like, what the heck, preacher? Oranges? Really? Yeah. Look at the bulletin cover. How much do you forgive one another? Wholly? Pun intended. Or only halfway? Or a quarter of the way? There were days in my life when I was growing up that I only gave my sister halfway. I only forgave my mom and dad a quarter of the way. Jesus says to Peter, not seven times, but I tell you 70 times seven. Because Peter's a good theologian. How many times should I forgive? Seven oranges? Seven whole oranges? I'll give seven whole times. Because that's a perfect number. I should forgive perfectly, is what Peter's saying. And Jesus says, no. Don't forgive perfectly. Forgive 70 times seven, or infinitely, without ceasing, for eternity, forgive one another. Lord, if my brother or sister, the original Greek, sins against me, how often should I forgive them? Seven oranges? Seven halves of them? Seven quarters of an orange? Go home and read Genesis 12 through 50 and be astounded by what you are reading. And try to prove me and other theologians wrong who say, Joseph never really forgives his brothers, verbally, out loud. And yet Jesus says something differently. How many oranges do you forgive? Amen. My new favorite hymn, hymn 605. Go home and dig out not only your Bible, read chapters 12 through 50, the whole story, it's wonderful. I left out a lot of details. Women and children are present, okay? But read then, go home and get your hymnal out, 605. I don't know who the music committee person was that chose the hymns for today. It wasn't me. But this is fantastic. I mean, that's the whole Old Testament and the whole gospel in one song. And it's not a long song, it's just a hard song to sing, because it's that whole medieval thing going on, right? It's wonderful, the words. Go home and read them again. I invite you to rise with the confession of faith and the prayers of the church. Our confession of faith is the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal. And we confess our faith in these same words. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. To the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, remember in our prayers in the church, our bishops Elizabeth Eden and Megan Manlove. We pray also this whole month for St. John's Sunday School and Christian Education programs, the students, staff, teachers, and families. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine, the war in Sudan, poverty and lives due to wildfires, the hurricanes now on the eastern seaboard, Maine and Canada. Flooding in Libya, I don't know if you heard that. There was such monsoon rains that two dams broke loose and washed out a couple of villages. There are 11,500 people dead because of those floods, and about 10,000 people to 11, they think, missing still. Then the earthquakes in Marrakesh, Monaco, there are over 3,500 deaths now because of that earthquake a week and a half ago. We pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these crises, not only in our own nation, but worldwide. A prayer of joy, celebration, and thanksgiving, praying of Bramwell George Booth V and Ashley J. Long, whom I married yesterday. Ashley is a niece of Kelly Long, for those of you who are keeping track of the spider web. Death and burial, we remember in our prayers Damien Alexander Jacobson, who died on the 7th of this month and was buried on Friday the 15th. He is the godson and nephew of Richard and Edith Cobb. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. Teach us to forgive one another 70 times 7. Teach us to be merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Teach us to live to the Lord. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. We pray for all farmers and laborers in the fields during this harvest season. We pray for lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, wildfires, hurricanes, earthquakes, and flooding, especially for those whom we mentioned already. Let all creation around the world know that you are their God and that you are with them and with us in crisis and devastation. Christe eleison.
Christ have mercy.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire peace and justice in the world. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas. Promote peace across the world, in our towns and in our neighborhoods. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Instead, let us show love and affection, hope and hospitality to one another. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have
mercy. Merciful Lord, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we lift up before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Your steadfast love, your grace, and your mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers.
Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. Give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Christe eleison.
Christ have mercy.
God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all of the ministries we are faithfully a part of. We pray for all students, teachers, staff, and families who are part of our Christian education programs. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially Damien and those whom we name before you in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our oration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Christe eleison.
Christ have mercy.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all those of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast, especially to my sister, Janice and Ron. They're visiting for our 50th class reunion, and we look really good. Who laughed so loud? Funny. Happy birthday today to Kale Coopin. Happy birthday this week to Corey West, Skylar Roth, Lori Beebe, Shane Porath, Marion Hudnall, Sid Allen, Ralph Brading, and Mary Mater Roth. It's been requested by members of the congregation that we begin a meal train for the Joseph and Elizabeth Christian family. Meals will be provided for the family on Tuesdays and Thursdays. People can sign up for any Tuesday and Thursday through the month of October. We have September finished, but we need to work on October. A sign-up sheet has been created, is on the kitchen counter. Thank you for your response to this ministry. One more announcement. Last week I had you look at the back of the bulletin and the financial situation, and we had a good response. But if you'll notice the math, and I've already been accosted by one person, what the heck we did, but the math just wasn't exactly correct. The typer of the bulletin put a minus in front.
Oh. Right.
All right, so
my
just,
fault.
It's not my fault. I didn't
Forgive
just
me.
Go out and spend money willy-nilly, but apparently it was thought. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or additions to the ones found here?
Right behind.
Joseph's Christian Hospice for the past few weeks. They are going to begin hospice daily starting tomorrow. We have had a great response for the meal train, which I never heard of it called that before, but for the meals on Tuesdays and Thursdays through September were filled. At Sunday school today they said, well, what happens if something happens to Joseph before October comes, which possibly could happen? They still need support. So if you are able and willing to be a part of that ministry in October, I know that Elizabeth and her family would appreciate that very much. Joseph is, like I say, on daily hospice now, and they're maintaining his pain medications and the like. So we remember them in our prayers. Go ahead.
I need assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for communion.
Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord. I feel
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. Bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence and love. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise for the great Thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymn. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise you, almighty and merciful God, through your Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all of them to drink, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, and on page 146 in the front of the hymn. blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn number 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Praise to you, O God of mercy. Thanks be to you forever. Raising high, O weak and lowly. Thanks be to you forever. From all to love and sought us. Thanks be to you forever. Truth and justice you have taught us.
Sake of Jesus the Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hymn is hymn number 494, For the Bread Which You Have Broken. Hymn 494.